My name's Joe, and I secretly recorded my boyfriend.
I don't know any names of women that are good looking.
I'm not joking. He really doesn't know about this.
Like Tom Cruise is a good looking bloke.
Any closer to home?
Closer to home.
Join me and my two friends every week as we share far too much about our personal lives.
One of the first things him saying to me is that I'm not like other girls that he's been with.
That's great.
They were naturally pretty, whereas you do look better with makeup on.
Oh my days.
Search I Secretly Recorded My Boyfriend wherever you get your podcasts and tell everyone. Just don't tell him.
You?
Yeah, me.
No, you're on about pretty as in pretty.
Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36, newly married, and all I keep hearing is, oh, don't you have any children? Or, who's looking after your kids? Or, your biological clock is ticking, you know? Yeah, I do know. Thanks. But what I don't know is if I actually want a baby. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network, where I speak to new mums, non-mums, baby wanters, baby rejectors, to figure out whether I want to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I speak to Catherine, who, well, I don't really know how to categorise her.
I often say childless by circumstance, but my circumstances are so complicated that that phrase doesn't really explain the complication.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
Why, hello.
Hi.
The avid listeners of the Da Baby or Not Da Baby podcast may have noticed a slight change in the intro there, Naomi. What was it?
Oh, I was hoping I could stay 35 for the duration of the podcast because I am now 36.
Yes, you are. Geriatric.
I know. And it does feel older, doesn't it? 35, you can still almost get away with early 30s, and 36, you definitely can't.
I mean, you're not early 30s at 35.
All
you're
right.
Definitely mid 30s, but you are now late 30s.
Thanks.
Late 30s.
Oh, no, mid.
Late 30s, late 30s, late 30s. Shut nearer up. 40, nearer 40.
You leave that word out of it.
Okay. But that film is the best film ever. This is 40.
Oh my God, it's such a good film. And actually, do you know what? That film genuinely made me feel better about the potential of having kids because you are going to cock it up quite a lot. And I watched that film and went, oh, it's fine. Everyone cocks it up.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's blagging.
One of my friends watched it and it made her feel depressed about parenting. So if you're not familiar with it, it's a woman who's in denial about being 40 and they've got two kids, but it's kind of her denial of her aging process and also her circumstance.
It's brilliant.
It's the best film
ever. It is, and she's my favourite comedy actress.
Oh my! I mean, Paul Rudd is just...
Oh yeah, I'm Paul Rudd. Yeah.
I'd have his kids.
Stop listening, Dan. Cut that bit out.
Me and Dan had an argument actually this week.
Oh. Is this something you want to share with everyone or?
Yeah, because we went out for dinner to celebrate my birthday. So went out all excited, going out for a nice meal. This is good. Off the back of the podcast where I was, oh, what was my percentage last week? Was it 85?
No, it was 90, 10.
90, 10.
Oh, no, you downgraded it to 85 after overthinking. Surprise. Shock.
So we're going out for dinner for my birthday. We're 85, 15. I feel like life is good. And naturally, we start talking about the podcast and the twin thing. So Dan had been out for drinks with one of his friends who, guess what, has twins, who said to Dan, mate, don't do it. And Dan said to me, I didn't know that you had this obsession with twins, but I think it's a bad idea. And I do think that we should have two kids, but I don't want us to have twins. And I'm like, okay, so you are prepared to write. Right, and this, I get that the description of this is going to sound really harsh, but this is kind of how I sometimes feel about it. You are going to write my life off for 4 years because 2 sets of 9 months being pregnant, yeah, and then newborn into toddler, that's my sole purpose for 4 years. And that's fine for you because you get to go back to work and do all your thing, but I'm doing that for 4 years. Whereas if we have twins, 2.
Okay, just going to remind you, because this happens quite a lot when we're recording, I am not Dan. Like, you don't need to get this angry with me about it. I'm like, I didn't even say anything.
We're in the restaurant having this romantic, in inverted commas, meal, and my percentage is like 80-20, 75-25, 50-50, 25-75. 1%, 99%, as in 1%, I want your baby. At this point, I'm like, no, no, no.
Can I just say, neither of you get a choice.
I know, like, I know, can you just remember that? I'm aware, I'm aware.
It's like in the podcast, you need a little me, just like at the side of your dinner going, but you don't get a choice, guys, just so you know.
Next time.
I'll just pop up.
Next time I'll have you on speakerphone, yeah? And you can just step in.
I don't have anything else to do because obviously my life's written off until toddler age.
Did you ever think that though?
What? That my life was going to be written off?
No, but you really wanted it, didn't you? So.
No, and I thoroughly enjoyed being full pregnant and having the excuse that when I was like full pregnant to just lie in bed and watch films and things. Can't do that anymore, so.
I don't have kids, so I can regularly just lie in bed and watch a film if I want to and I have nowhere to answer to.
Yeah. Feels more okay though when you're like really, really pregnant and you can't move.
What, then when you don't have kids?
Yeah, because when you don't have kids, people just think you're lazy if all you do all day is watch films. Yeah, whereas when you're like carrying a watermelon in your tummy, then, you know, it's kind of all right. And to be fair, at one point, I actually couldn't get up, so I was there.
Well, that sounds fun. Sign me up for that one, Nat. First off, how are we explaining your current situation? Is child-free the correct term or what's the lingo?
Gosh, that's a really difficult one to answer. Child-free, I don't think I could call myself child-free by choice because there wasn't a moment when I chose to be child-free. I don't like the term childless. I often say childless by circumstance, not by choice. But my circumstances are so complicated that that phrase doesn't really explain the complication. So do I have to pick one?
You don't have to pick one, but I'm asking it because I genuinely don't know what the term is.
Confused.
Snap.
As you'll know, there's a huge child-free by choice movement. Women who've definitely chosen that. And ambivalent is the best way for me to describe myself, and I often use that in that I didn't know it throughout my 20s, 30s, I didn't know it, but I was ambivalent about children. Actually, in my 40s, I was ambivalent about children. In my 20s, I was definitely not even thinking about it, didn't even enter my head. In my 30s, I started thinking, oh, this is something I'm supposed to do. Around your age, I think.
That's exactly how I'm feeling right now.
In my 20s, I was a foreign correspondent. I was living abroad. I was traveling around the world in my early 20s on my own. I arrived in Mexico at 25. I partied for 5 years in Mexico. Nobody had children. Nobody was thinking about children. So that didn't even occur to me. And then I moved back to London at 32, I think. I became a political reporter in the Houses of Parliament, and I travelled with the Prime Minister, and I had this big job. And as any professional woman will tell you, there's no time to think about children and no time to think about relationships. So throughout my early 30s, I was working in the Houses of Parliament, travelling with the Prime Minister, going to war zones and disaster zones and things, and nobody had kids. Well, actually, people did have kids, but none of my friends had kids. None of my friends who worked in those professions of my age had children. And then around, I guess, 35 maybe, I dated someone and I started thinking, oh, I think I want kids. I kind of needed an answer immediately from him if we were going to be together, and that put a lot of pressure on the relationship. I don't really know what that was about. It was probably around the time that my dad died, and you become very aware of your own mortality and your own lineage and the fact that it's stopping with me. My brother has 3 children, so he's done great.
He's done his bit.
Yeah. And also, though, I think if I'm honest, there was that hole in the soul or grief or depression or whatever. You know, I was single. I was starting to fall out of love with my job, with my career, thinking, why have I been working so hard? What has this been all about? I had a gorgeous flat in London, a great social life, massive, impressive CV, but it seemed quite empty. Once I stopped and looked around, I thought, what's it all been for? But there was no one around to have children with. And I just got on with...
I love that you said that as if you kind of went, I'll just look around. Is there anyone around here? No.
Well, I think that the point is, and this is sort of brings me on to what I do now. The point is none of my relationships were working out. And I didn't know why. And I felt like I kept trying and they kept failing. So at 40, I had a happy 40th. And then at 41, I woke up in tears. And it was really that... look around my bedroom and how on earth have I got here on my own, waking up at 41. By that stage, I wasn't doing that job anymore and I was trying to figure out what to do next and nothing was going right.
I feel like I need a bit of a rant. So I'm a bit of a country music geek and I've just been catching up on some of the gossip from the CMA Awards, the Country Music Association Awards, which is like probably the biggest country music event in the calendar year. And I cannot believe how many female artists were asked on the red carpet, when are you having children? Do you want to have children? And the reason I know this is because there are a bunch of headlines about those female artists and whether they want to have children or not. Yes, Daily Mail website, I'm looking at you. Why are we still asking this question? Why do people feel like they can ask that in such a public domain as well? Oh, it makes me dead mad. So I'm sorry, I don't normally get mad on these bits, but that makes me mad.
And then I started exploring the whole baby thing. So do I want kids? Should I have kids? I had a fertility MOT. I went to a seminar on having children on your own at a clinic in London. I did an MOT, checked out my eggs. And I remember they showed me the results and they said they were average for a woman of my age, which is basically not good because at 42, the average results are not good. Like your chances of having a child using IVF are very low. And as we know, your chances of having a child naturally are very low by that age. And I was devastated and I didn't think I'd be devastated. It was a bit like getting a sort of D in your exams. And I'd always been a straight A student, so I couldn't quite cope with the D.
Okay, but there's no way you can prepare for this. This is just your body is doing its thing. And that's it.
Yeah.
Even as you were explaining it, the thing that I find interesting is that, yes, you were doing it for work and you were doing it because you were researching this book. But in hindsight, do you look back and think maybe the reason I was doing it was more because I actually had more of an investment in it than I thought I had? Or
yeah, when I cried, when they showed me the results, I thought, oh, okay, I've got a bigger investment in this than I thought I had. But there was something in me that knew when I was in that IVF clinic, when I was exploring, because they show you the results and then they say, right, your option is either get a donor sperm quickly and try really quickly because you've got no time left, or donor eggs. And I looked into all of this. I also looked into egg freezing, which again, for an article and for the book, but also for me, which at 42, most people say is a ridiculous idea, but people will do it for you. It costs a lot of money. So I looked into all this. I ran around London. I was in Harley Street. I went to all these clinics and journalist notebook. And also, you know, I was invested in it. But I knew as I did all that, that I didn't want to do that whole IVF thing. I didn't feel at all drawn to pumping myself with hormones, spending thousands and thousands of pounds, which at that point I didn't really have. Although I interviewed a lot of people who'd made drastic changes to have babies on their own, sold the house and whatever. So nothing in me thought that I want to do that. And what I did think is I want to have a relationship. And there was still a bit of me that thought, oh, maybe a child will come out of that. And then I was on and off with this guy who, when I first met him, he said he didn't want children. And at that point, I was 40, he was 45. And I thought, well, you're not for me because I think I do. And then I left and I went off in search of some other willing bloke who might want to have children. And I, you know, scoured the internet for this person and I dated some people, some men who wanted children, and none of that worked out. And I kept coming back to this guy, whose name is Bill, because I liked being with him and I felt good with him and I felt happy with him. And then I'd leave him again and I'd go off again and I'd look for someone else. And throughout all that, I was on my own personal development journey, which I've been on for quite a long time. And I was exploring my past, my baggage, my issues, and trying to figure out why I wasn't making a relationship happen, what was going on. So I explored my ambivalence towards love and my fear of commitment, explored it so much that I wrote a book about how to fall in love and ended up committing to my now husband. We got married 7 weeks ago. So he is the guy who I'd met when I was 40, who said he didn't want kids. And as I committed to him, you know, he was still saying that, as much as I was saying, what, can we give it a go? He was being honest and saying he doesn't see that. He hasn't changed. That's his point of view. And I suppose a little bit of me thought, oh, I'll just get pregnant. It'll happen. And that didn't happen. And I'd explored a lot about my ambivalence towards being a mother. So I didn't know I had a huge ambivalence towards being a mother. And I wish I didn't. I wish I was one of these people who was a definitely yes or definitely no. But I explored this ambivalence, which was a hallmark of my entire life, ambivalence towards everything, like career. Well, not so much career, actually. I was always very committed. But, you know, fear of commitment, fear of committing to one choice, indecision, and particularly around children, because my experience of being mothered or parented hadn't set me up to think that that was fun, that that was a good thing to do. So my mum had struggled. She brought up two kids. She got divorced. She brought up two kids on her own. There wasn't a lot of money. This is what I understood from that experience, that she would rather that that hadn't happened, that she missed her freedom and that it was really tough. And I just didn't want that. And then I'd look around and I'd see these families and they seem to be enjoying their children and laughing and having fun. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's fun to have kids. By which stage I was 44, 45. And it literally didn't dawn on me till then.
Camilla, how did you and Ed, the husband, decide that you were going to have children?
We actually talked about it on our very first date.
Shocker, not.
But I feel like when you reach a certain age and you're dating, like that's a question that you want to ask, but you don't necessarily feel comfortable asking because you just need to know what page they're on. Because like, what is the point in dating someone who's on a completely different page? And I don't even really know how it came up, but I think maybe Ed was talking about his niece, Scarlett, and he was basically saying that his sister having Scarlett was what made him realise that he wanted children. So I kind of didn't even need to ask the question. Like, that organically came into it. And I was thinking, tick, 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 tick.
I'd love to
see. He's got tattoos. Tick. He's a bit edgy. Tick. He's a drummer. Tick. He wants to have my babies. Tick. Let's do this.
I'm trying to accept my child-free status and really love it every day because it comes with lots of benefits. And also, what I always wanted was a relationship. And I think that was my priority, a happy, long-lasting relationship, which is something I also hadn't seen from my parents. And I got that, and I got that late. And he is 53 now. I've changed careers. You know, I'm working, I'm running retreats. I'm working as a relationships coach. I'm loving my new career. I love living by the sea now. I used to live in London. I now live in Dorset. I swim in the sea. So I love a lot about my life.
And that's only half the answer, because I'm sure there's loads of, you know, there's fear
of making the wrong choice. What if you get it wrong? What if you actually didn't want children and then you have them?
Well, this is my fear, because I'm thinking, surely I should know, because your life has changed forever. It's not your own forever. So surely you should know deep in your soul that that is the choice that you want to make. But there are days that I think I do know, and then there are other days where I really have no idea. I am lucky enough to have a husband who I love so much, and actually, as you were talking about your relationship history, I feel like I had that as well. I went through this kind of string of people who were not anything to do with them necessarily, but just were not right for me, that they were not the right relationships for me, and I was trying to get something out of it that I was never going to get out of those relationships. And so now I found this person who makes me so happy, and he does want kids. But then I go, oh, but is that going to change us? Is that going to change what we have? And some will say yes, of course. Well, obviously, either way, it will change it. Some will say it will change it for the better. And then other people go, oh, actually, maybe it doesn't. It's like such a gamble.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I remember somebody saying to me, the problem about falling in love with someone is that you want to make that bigger. So you meet someone, you fall in love with them, and then you want to create this bigger family out of them and you. And I get that. And again, you know, I came to this very late, but, you know, sometimes I see my husband and think, oh, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it have been amazing to make a mini one of us, all your good qualities and all mine? And also, you know, I think, again, I came to this late, but I have got a lot better at loving. I wasn't very good at feeling love, at expressing love, at showing love. But as I have worked on myself, I am very open to love, and I feel like I've got a lot of love to give. So I do feel that that's there, that that is there. And, you know, I sometimes feel sad that there aren't children to pour that into, although there are, because just had a weekend with my 9-year-old nephew, and we played so much and we laughed so much. And, you know, and I really love him. And I've got two other nephews who are 18 and 19. And I love them so much. I tend to overthink things. And I think maybe people who don't, they might have children and then love flows and that's it. You love your child. And there are also lots of articles, which I'm sure you've seen, or forums of people who regret having children, which is a massive taboo, but people talk about it. And I think somehow that's kind of the message I picked up in my childhood. Yeah, I have no easy answer.
No, it's like that. But I know what you mean, because I almost wish the decision was taken away from me, either that I would fall pregnant or, and I hate even saying this out loud, but or that I would find out that I couldn't have children, because then at least it would be decided, because I'm an overthinker. And so this is the problem. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm looking at other people with kids going, oh, that looks good. And then I'll see someone with a kid and, I go, and the kid's throwing a massive tantrum. I go, oh, that looks bad. That looks bad. And so it's all kind of constantly being processed in my head. But you know, you were saying about spending time with your brother's kids. Does that ever make you feel sad because you look at that situation and go, I wish I had that? Or do you just get the joy from it that having those children in your life then brings you?
Yeah, no, I do feel sad sometimes when I come away and think, I feel two things. I feel grief and relief, which is what I often write about. I feel sad because these are amazing human beings who are growing and developing and they're fun. And so I do feel sad. And then sometimes after playing for a couple of hours, I think, oh my goodness, if this child was mine, I would have another 10 hours to play. And have I got that in me? And have I got that in me? Would I have had that in me when I was younger? Perhaps, but when I was younger, I was not emotionally available. I would have really struggled if I'd have got pregnant in my 30s. Or if I'd have had a child in my 20s, I was self-harming in lots of ways. I was binge drinking, I was binge eating, had an eating disorder, I was overworking. So I had a lot to sort out first. So that would have been difficult. And I do feel sad that I didn't actively make a choice. But I suppose a lot of my work now is about accepting who I am, where I've been, what I've done, accepting that I did the best with what I had, with my circumstances, and making the most of, you know, what can be an incredible life, even though we don't have children or because we don't have children. But, you know, I was on honeymoon, and this is just the way my mind works. But I look around at all these people with families and I think they're having more fun. These people are having a better time, or there's more love, or that, you know. And I have to train my brain to not work that way, because as I said to a friend the other day, if I'd have had one child, I'd be on a holiday thinking, look at those families with two children. They're having more fun. Look at those families with three children. They're having loads more fun. So this is just part of my personality.
Or you do the opposite, which is look at that couple with no children. Look at how much of a great time they're having.
Yeah. And look at the beautiful relationship they have. And there are lots of stats, and I won't quote them right, and I'm sure you'll find them, but, you know, about the happiest couples are those without children. So if my focus was to have a happy relationship and I will continue my relationship without children, then I have a strong chance of having a lifelong relationship.
Dan, we are currently on holiday in India. What do you think this holiday would be like if we had kids here?
Exactly the same, probably, wouldn't it? Just go out, get drunk, sleep in all morning. What would it actually be like? Hard work?
I think it'd be
stressful.
Rubbish. It wouldn't be a good holiday, would it?
No. I'll put it this way, wouldn't be able to get up at like midday and just lazy around all morning, go to the beach, do what we like, get drunk.
Even the thought of trying to take a child down to that beach. So where we are is a place called Vakala Cliff. So everything is on a cliff and then you have to walk down. How many steps to get to the beach?
50. Yeah.
We saw that couple do it with a pushchair and went, this looks awful.
Not for that. I'm sure it's doable. The kids, some kids on the beach earlier, but if they could walk themselves and get themselves ready and all that kind of stuff, then yeah, I'll be well up for it. But I feel like, and also that journey here would be horrendous. Maybe. It was bad enough with just me and you, but it would be horrendous with young kids. So I basically just wouldn't be up for it.
We'd just take them Haven, eh?
Yeah, or just Spain, somewhere like, you know, a couple of hours, get there.
Exotic.
Yeah, exactly.
Around that time when you had the fertility tests and things done and you had met Bill and you kept leaving him and kept coming back to this relationship, what do you think was the driving force behind leaving him, and why do you think suddenly that you had that kind of thing of you know, going through most of your life and not feeling that want or need for children, but then it kind of suddenly came enough that you would leave the man who is now your husband?
Well, I have explored this in depth, and you know, the simple answer would be it became a big deal because I was running out of time. I had met someone I wanted to be with and I was in my early 40s, so it was then or never. But you know, having explored this in therapy, there was part of me who was using that baby thing as an obstacle not to continue with my relationship because I was terrified of committing. I was terrified of loving. So every time we got really close and had a really great time, and you know, we had these 3 months which we called the summer of love, and you know, we went camping and everything was wonderful, and right at the end of that I thought, oh, he'll have changed his mind about kids, so I'll ask him again. And he hadn't, and I was devastated, and I went back to London and relationship off all over. No contact for a whole year. And when I look back, and I did that a few times, that sort of drastic leaving, bringing up the question again. And I was ambivalent about motherhood, but I definitely thought I wanted a relationship. But deep down, I was terrified of a relationship. So the baby thing was a convenient block. It was a convenient obstacle. It was a great reason for me to keep leaving. And, you know, some people would say it's a very valid reason. It is a very valid reason to keep leaving if you definitely want children. But I didn't definitely want children. I didn't know if I could still have them. I knew that I didn't want to do the whole chemically induced thing. And, you know, IVF works wonders for so many people. But there was nothing in my body or heart when I went to those clinics that wanted to go through that. I interviewed women who'd done donor eggs. They were delighted. I interviewed women who'd done babies on their own with sperm donors. Most of them were happy. Some of them found it hard. But there was nothing in me that wanted to do that. So
why?
Maybe I just didn't want it enough. Or maybe I didn't want it at all. It would be wonderful if the outcome of this podcast interview is that I finally realise that I never wanted children at all, in which case my life is absolutely perfect. So I could have got pregnant naturally. We didn't try because he didn't want to try. It might have happened.
What would the outcome have been had it happened if he was so against having children?
Yeah, I did check that, you know, because, you know, for my self-esteem, I did check that. And he said he would deal with it, as in, not in that way, but he, you know, that he would... We would stay together and we would make the best of it, and he wouldn't run for the hills. And when he said that, I thought, well, you know, let's try. And you know, having talked about this in therapy, my therapist would say that he's also ambivalent about children, because you don't say that if you're so adamantly against. But I would be the yes person and he would be the no. And that was the role that both of us played. So I was, yes, let's have children and it's your fault that we don't. He was, no, I don't want children. And it wasn't nasty like that at all. It was loving and considerate. But what if he had been the yes? I probably would have been the no person. So it was easy for me to be the yes, 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 yes person, because I knew his answer was no. Like, he never called my bluff. Like, if he'd have called my bluff and said, okay, let's do this thing, what would I have said? It's highly likely that I'd have said no.
That's so interesting you saying that, because I'm literally playing that out in my brain with me and my husband. And I think because he is more the yes person, I am the no. And actually, if he was no, I think I would be doing the let's have a baby.
Yeah. So maybe try that on for size. Maybe suggest that you swap roles for 6 weeks or something. I don't know. It's easier to play that role. And then I've had a number of experiences when, this is kind of off at a tangent, but it feels relevant, when I have, you know, I've done a vision board, or I've had a vision, what do I want out of my life? I've done a number of sort of vision board sketches, drawings, magazine cutouts and things. And on one of them that I did in my late 30s, there was a mother swinging a child down at the beach. Anything I've done from 40 onwards, there wasn't a baby. There was beach, sea, love, sex, camper van, foreign travel, publish my book, do a career that I love, you know, all those things. There wasn't a baby. And even in those moments where you might be somewhere where someone suggests, you know, make a wish, I probably did at some point wish for a baby, but not every time. I often wished for other things. And I'm a pretty determined person who makes things happen. And I suppose I take comfort from the fact that I am that person, and that if I'd have really wanted a child, I would have made it happen. So I really wanted to live by the sea. I really wanted to be in a relationship and married. I wanted to write a book. I wanted to coach, all these things, and I've made them happen. So I hope that if I'd really wanted that, I would have made that happen.
You saying all of that translates to me that you are fulfilled and your life as it is now fulfills you. And so you're not kind of describing it and, oh, this, but do you feel there's a but, or?
Yeah, my life does fulfill me in that I'm really happy in my relationship. I swam in the sea this morning, wrote a bit of my next book, coaching, winning a retreat in Turkey soon, you know, friends, family as in my family, my original family. Is there a but? I think I'm a but person, so I can't say there's not a but. I will always wonder what that would have felt like. How can you not? Especially if you are someone who is one of these people who wants to embrace every aspect of life that's available and every potential miracle that's on offer. How can you not think, oh, I wonder what that would have felt like to have had a baby growing inside me and to have given birth and then to have felt that level of love? How can I not wonder? I think society has a huge part to play in all this. As a woman, it's still very difficult to really embrace a life without children, without thinking that you've got it wrong. Everywhere we go, everyone's talking about families, and you see families and all this stuff about my child is my world, my child is my life, best thing I've ever done, or, you know, all these phrases that if you don't have children, you feel in the wrong. And so I think society has a huge part to play, and it's very hard to find yourself, to find your truth amongst all these messages.
Big, big thank you to Catherine for chatting to us so honestly and eloquently. If you want to read her book, so her book is How to Fall in Love, A 10-Step Journey to the Heart by Catherine Baldwin. But also she's got a website that you can find out loads more stuff about her. So that is from40withlove.com.
And I really do want to. I found Catherine fascinating. And I know you said afterwards it's because I'm a therapist. It's quite therapeutic. But I do think it's fascinating. And I do think everyone's journey in kind of...
She's going cheesy.
I am going full cheese. Everyone's journey in finding themselves and what they really want can take a short amount of time or a much longer time. And it's just so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think some people never really know themselves. They just keep kind of plodding along.
No, and I think that's why you sometimes get your people that are not the overthinkers who just go, "Yeah, I want a baby. I'm going to have a baby now." And then they perhaps have that conversation with themselves much later on. They've had the baby and actually they're going, "Okay, would my life have been different if I'd waited, if I'd have done this?" So everyone does it whichever way happens.
Yeah. But as you can hear, me and Catherine both are like, I was so envious of those people who just know.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah, but you say that, but do you ever really, really know? I think you still question yourself even if you think you know. And I think you always hit a phase in your life where you reevaluate. Something big could happen and you go, was I ever right about that being my path? Should it have been this way?
Mm, true. Deep.
Yeah, sorry.
Deep, very deep. Down. Yeah. Come and rest upon my chest.
Oh, I need have to make a joke about it, but that was quite a good one. So are you a bit concerned, like Catherine, because you are such an overthinker, do you feel like you're going to overthink this for too long? Could you procrastinate too long in this decision-making process?
No, because I think I've got you badgering away at my shoulder going, come on now. No, not really.
I was going to say, no. This is not true. If there is anyone badgering, it's the little person in your head.
It is and it isn't. It's not in my head. It's partly in my head because I am aware of my age and I am aware that I have to make a decision at some point. If I'm going to have a baby, I can't overthink it for too long. I can't leave it for too long. But also, and particularly since doing the podcast, God, people just want to ask me more about when I'm going to do it.
So you've shot yourself in the foot, really?
Absolutely have, yeah.
Oops.
I don't think I'm worried I'm going to leave it too late. I already worry, have I left it too late? Because that's the whole point of this thing is that even if I decide in a matter of weeks, 100%, yes, I'm going for it. Let's do it. Let's have a baby. I might not be able to. At which point then it could be too late. I mean, again, this is pure overthinking, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I think interviewing all these people and hearing all the different ways their life have gone without them planning it, you can't plan for it. You can't overthink this because actually what will be eventually.
True. But a short answer to the question is no, I don't think I'll overthink it for too long.
So Catherine talks about doing a mood board and how that's changed. Because you used to do mood boards.
I think I even put a baby on one. Like, I'm talking 10 years ago.
Really? Would a baby be on it if you did one now?
That's a hard one. It's weird because when I look far into the future, I think there is a kid. But when I look near into the future, I don't know.
How far?
I don't know. I think it's a minute. I feel like that's a really hard question because I do think, I feel like my percentages have reversed.
Oh, really?
If you'd asked me this last week, I think I would have said, yes, there's definitely one on there. And this week, I don't know.
Have you panicked?
I think I've panicked.
I can see the panic. I can feel the panic. This is all getting very therapeutic.
Oh my God, it is.
The transference is strong. Like, the panic is in me.
Is it?
No, seriously, I feel panicked looking at you because I can see the panic.
It is that thing of knowing that I have got to make a decision fairly soon.
It's because I asked you if it's on the mood board.
Yeah, because I should know. I feel like I should know.
That's the whole point of the process. You don't know. You've got to work through it.
Thanks, therapist.
So what percentage are you at?
I think I'm 50-50.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't think you wanted to go into the negative side of it. So you were just like, I'm going to go down the middle.
That's why I'm 50-50, because I genuinely do feel like I don't know.
Do you think it's partly because of your conversation with Dan?
Yes. Yeah. No. Do you know what it is? It was my reaction to the conversation with Dan of going, oh, that's 4 years of my life taken over. And I'm like, oh God, that's not a good way of looking at it, is it?
Listen, You're not even there with the first yet, so don't be thinking about it like four years. Like, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it's like me with Chester. I always thought I wanted two babies. And I, at the moment, let's get into some percentages for me. I'm like 80% just want Chester. And that changes a lot. Or like, I'll see certain things and be like, oh, yeah, maybe, yeah, he does need a sibling. Oh, no, I want to give him all of my attention. So don't overthink it so much that you're planning the two babies. Yeah, okay. Just imagine just one for now.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Does that relax you a little bit
a more? A little bit more. Yeah, yeah, that's good. That feels better.
Oh, good.
Okay. Can I have a glass of wine now?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock somewhere.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it hugely help us out, but it will guarantee that nobody will ever ask you again why you don't have any kids. Join me next time when I try to decide whether to baby or not to baby.
Next time on To Baby or Not to Baby.
The first thing I said when he was born was, I don't want him. I'm really not proud of that moment, but it did happen.